Welcome to Local Exposure, a podcast about music and the greater Cincinnati scene. I'm Jim Nolan. By blending classic synth flow, improv, jazz, orchestration, and hip-hop drive, the debut and title album by Phlox places them somewhere within the Venn diagram of Chick Corea, Childish Gambino, and Frank Zappa. Here to tell me more about the band, the album, and its creation is Tom Buckley, Joshua Jessen, and Stephen Patota from Phlox. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
There's a lot to unpack about this album. It's really fun to listen to. So tell me a bit about where this band came from and your backgrounds.
So we all met going to music school at Cincinnati Conservatory of Music up the street, and we had played in many different projects and bands together over the past, I don't know, about 8 years. We were already well acquainted with each other and with each other's playing and that sort of thing. When we started collaborating in some other original projects, like a band Art and Science that the drummer Tom and I were a part of, where we started to experiment with these more mixes of jazz and like electronic music and things like that. And we were really excited by that sound and wanted to experiment further with that. And when that band ended a few years back, we had been looking for an opportunity to continue that sort of idea, that sort of texture. And we got even more passionate about, I guess, beat-oriented music, like, you know, hip-hop and electronic music and those sorts of things, and, like, synthetic textures, like, you know, analog synths and drums playing in a style influenced by, like, drum and bass and things like that. We're really excited by those types of things and how you could experiment with those things. And so Tom and I both kind of independently came to this place where we wanted a project like that and wanted to be in a studio more often recording music like that. So we were on a gig at a synagogue, because we freelance, all of us. So we were playing a freelance gig at a synagogue in town, and we were in the parking lot. We're like, man, almost independently together, we came up to each other, like, man, we got to make some music again. We got to do something, create something like this, something original and something fresh and something that's kind of a continuation of this shared language we've already been kind of working on in some amount of way. And so we started recording at Marble Garden Studios. We started working on this album. We wrote a lot of it over the past 2 years and then wrote a decent amount of it in the studio with Isaac Carnes, who's the engineer and owner at Marble Garden. And then we realized, you know, we need a third person to help us interpret all of these things and to be a part of this and lend a voice to it. And that's where we introduced Steve to the band and invited him to join, because we already loved his playing and he's really versatile, being able to play bass, guitar. I mean, he sings, he plays a lot of different things and can play keys and stuff like that. So we were like, he's a good fit and he's a great accompanist. Let's get him involved with this. And so that's when Steve joined.
So you're all CCM grads. What did you all major in or focus on?
So I majored in jazz studies and my focus was on drum set.
Same thing, but with guitar.
Yeah, and same for me, but with piano.
So jazz, improv jazz, traditional jazz?
Yeah, I mean, the degree at school mostly focuses on like bebop and swing and music from that part of the 20th century, but it's all encompassing to some degree. But I think at this point, I mean, we all play a variety of music, you know, and improvised music. But yeah, the degree itself is a little bit more focused on that era of jazz.
And it just studies the tradition of jazz more. You can study that and then go on and do your own thing and add to that once you know what's there in a way.
There's a lot of playfulness in this album, particularly in regard to rhythm. There's a lot of changes, and I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking, there's not a whole lot of 4-4 on this album. And one question that came to mind is, did you have fun making it, or did you ever feel that pressure of like, oh, we need a 7-8 part, or we need an 11 part, and you know, we really need to like be mathematical about this, or was it just free play?
It's a mix, but I think a lot of the maybe more interesting or just sort of like syncopated rhythmic stuff that you find on the album, that's just like how I hear rhythm. And a lot of the music that we listen to has a lot of these rhythms in it in some way or another. And some of the writing for this was me and Josh experimenting with how to make grooves that to us at least feel good and are compelling, but that do have some rhythms that are a little bit maybe unconventional in popular music or things like that, but still have like a heavy sense of groove.
So, yeah, so that it can still, maybe it's in whatever it is, 11 or whatever it is, but it feels good, or it's like in 5, but you're not worried about that. You're just like feeling the texture. So like you can relate to it like I kind of think of grooves like that as the way I think of like abstract art, where like you can look at it and not know anything about painting and be like, that's a pretty texture. Or you can know a lot about painting and brushstrokes and be like, wow, I know exactly what's going on here. And you can relate to it on any of those levels. That's how I feel about music of those types of grooves. But I think it was very natural in the writing process where, you know, Tom would be working on something he was just excited about. He was like, oh, this sounds cool to me. I'm working on this idea. He'd send it to me, maybe in a phone message or something, or like a video. I would write a part to it, and then we'd get together and try it, that kind of thing, and develop it.
That was a lot of the writing process.
Or vice versa.
A couple months was just sending voice memos back and forth, and then the next week we'd get together and be like, you know, I liked these two that you sent me. Let's work on that. I came up with these, Josh, like I came up with these sounds to it. We would just improvise over for a while. We would record that, and then we would sort of filter down which variations on those ideas we liked.
And then in the studio, it was really gave us a lot of potential for developing these arrangements, because when we're rehearsing, there was only two pieces before we brought Steve in. You know, there's only so much you can do at once with two people. But in the studio, you can, you know, layer a lot of different things when you're tracking, a lot of different synth parts, a lot of different percussion parts. So it really was a studio sort of record, and like a lot of the parts, they could only have happened in the studio in that way. And then our live interpretations of them required more people.
I was actually going to ask you about that, because you had your album release party at Northside Tavern.
Northside Tavern, yeah.
How was the live performance?
It was great.
It was awesome.
I think it went pretty well. I think we've gotten to a point with this particular set of music where we feel very comfortable with it and can stretch it, and like it doesn't have to be exactly as it was on the album, unless it's like very intentionally that way. It's cool because it's electronic music that has like life to it. It feels very organic and can go kind of anywhere on the fly, which is fun.
Yeah, the show was a blast. It was packed, and I'm still very high off of that feeling of like how exciting it was. And
do you feel like you're sort of just playing within a framework of these songs as opposed to trying to replicate what was actually on the release?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty accurate way to look at it, although it does sort of depend on the song. Some of them we've kept concise, like most of the tunes on the record, you know, are very concise. And so some of them, just based on especially the ones that are sample heavy, we have sort of stuck to the form for those ones. But then even within those songs, there are other sections which we've expanded or just lengthened or added more energy to or something like that.
You know, there's an MC who raps on one of the songs on the record, and his name is Eric Rollin. He's from Columbus, really incredible writer and an MC. He came out and opened the show with us and also sat in on other parts and like freestyled over some other parts that we could just ended up looping and things like that, because we wanted the live show to like build off of and be totally different than the record, and not totally different from a musical standpoint, but more from like we wanted to have a lot of raw energy and excitement and it'd be really engaging. With the album, you could chill out and listen to it and have a good time at home and it's not maybe overwhelming, but the live show is like really engaging. And
I think, yeah, it's just more high energy.
Yeah, more high energy. And so increasing some of those songs, like lengthening some of them, making parts even more intense and that kind of thing.
I'm really glad that you mentioned Eric Rollin, because I predominantly listen to music in my car. And that's the one that while I was driving, I'm listening to and I was like, wow, this one stood out. What went into the creation process of Cold?
Hip-hop is one of our biggest influences for sure. And so some of this music is very naturally hip-hop oriented, and Cold being an experimental version of that. I can't even remember who wrote which part first on that piano versus the drum part. But nonetheless, Tom and I wrote those, just the piano part and the drum part, and then add these synth pads in and things like that. Actually, we originally named it Philip Seymour Hoffman before, with PSH was the name of this song, before we had any vocals on it, just because the vibe of it, in my opinion, it was reminding me of some of his movies. He was part of some like Paul Thomas Anderson movies and things, and it had this kind of darker vibe to it. So the chord changes kind of are a little darker in that way. And I've already worked with Eric previously in Columbus before, and he's come down to play some hip-hop shows with us. We knew we liked him, but we didn't know what he'd come up with. We're like, you want to, you know, if you're feeling this, we'd love for you to write something to it. And we broke it down how we were thinking about it. He took it and like took it to a totally different place than we were even expecting. The levels of metaphor in his writing were awesome, and his like rhythm and different tones he uses all throughout the track are really wild to us. We were blown away when we heard it.
The way he transitions from the traditional hip-hop rap and then to the singing part, I think, is beautiful.
Yeah. We weren't originally even going to have him sing the hook, because he even was like, I want there to be like a female vocalist on this part. And we have a friend who we really love her singing that we were like sure we were going to use. But then we heard his singing and we're like, no, man, he's like a soulful, like bluesy, like Bilal type of vibe. with his own thing happening, it's like really, really compelling. And so we're like, if you're cool with it, man, we do not want to change your singing part on it at all, you know?
We left it kind of open-ended. Eric came up with all that and I think shared the concept and like how he was going to approach the tune from a writing standpoint. But then, yeah, I mean, all the rhythm and melody and everything that he came up with, that was just all him.
All right, well, let's listen to Cold from Phlox. To ask you about the diversity and sound of the album, like we alluded to earlier, there's some sampling, there's some traditional drums, there's a lot of synth, there's a lot of playfulness again, not only in what notes are played but in what instruments play them. I wanted you, if you could, walk me through your creative process and then tell me a little bit about some of the instruments that you use. Were they vintage synths? Were they emulators? What sort of devices did you use to create these sounds?
Most of these synth sounds come from a few analog synths that I really love. This Moog Sub 37, that's a classic brand, but a newer model. I got it right before the recording of this record for that one synth. So a lot of the lead sounds are done on that. Then a lot of the pads and some of the other leads are done on this Dave Smith, who's kind of the brother to Moog. Bob Moog and Dave Smith are like, you know, kind of the two main guys for analog synths out in California. And Dave Smith was like, oh, I think I can see how I can change what Moog is doing. And so he started his own thing. And I'm using the Mofo X4 from him, which is another like all analog board, but also not vintage. Since I gig a lot and freelance a lot, I can't really afford to use a lot of vintage boards because they need a lot of repair, a lot of upkeep. And once I have like a really established maybe home studio, I can afford to really have a lot of those around. But right now, I mostly stick to like just newer models of these classic brands and models like Moog and Dave Smith. And then some of the other pad and key work was done on the Nord Stage 2, which is a board from Sweden. And it's like part synth, part keyboard samples and that kind of thing. And then we literally played an upright piano that we have in the studio that we like room mic'd for some of it.
The drums on the record are almost exclusively acoustic sounds, actually. I'm using a lot of additional sort of like treatment on the drums as far as like setting different types of cymbals on top of other cymbals and setting cymbals on the snare drum or setting other shells and bells and all different things that I put on the snare to get it to have a different sorts of like almost like electronic or like white noise qualities at times. But yeah, it's all acoustic. There's a couple tracks that have some layered samples, you know, like mixed in with the kick drum, but almost all of the sounds you hear from a drum standpoint are all acoustic.
We spent a lot of time in post-production on all of our sounds. We're excited to do that. That's part of the process. That was fun to us. It was like how to really affect them even after we record them. That was really fun. Like the mixing process was as much of it, the creative process and this record as it, the writing and recording was. Where some records you like record it down, send it to a guy who mixes it and that's great. For this record, the mixing, we all mixed it together with the engineer. That was even about as equal of the creative process, I feel like, of changing the music and developing it as the recording.
I know from the music that I hear my son playing a lot that the hip-hop world has really exploded and expanded in, I'm going to say, the past 5-7 years or so. Sure. With a lot more of an experimental playground. The likes of Bus Driver, again, I mentioned Childish Gambino. How much of an influence does that style and that freedom have on this album that you've created?
I think a lot. We all listen to, I mean, a wide variety of music, but definitely a lot of more experimental, newer hip-hop stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's some of the most exciting stuff to me right now, period. Probably, you know, guys like Smino, that whole scene from Chicago, that's like really new. Like Monty Booker's production, he's works with Smino. I mean, but everything, even like, we were all into like To Pimp a Butterfly, like that Kendrick Lamar record was really exciting, and really all of his stuff. And hip-hop also kind of became pop music recently, too, you know, over the past 5 to 7 years. But there's still a really exciting amount of, like, funk being reintroduced and, like, jazz influences also back into hip-hop, even though those were there earlier, too, like some of the earliest samples. Mm-hmm. But now they've been reintroduced in, like, a real way, like, with musicians playing them. So you have got, like, producers like Terrace Martin bringing in musicians like Thundercat to play bass lines on these records. And that's exciting to me. That like there's now real instruments playing a lot of the hip-hop you hear.
Are you looking forward to making any more, say, local collaborations? I'm thinking how, say, Napoleon Maddox could be a definite connection to this band.
We were just talking about that, yeah.
Absolutely. I've played a bit with Napoleon and done some work with him in the last year or so. So, yeah, he's on the short list for sure. We'd love to work with him at some point.
Yeah, we've definitely been intending to collaborate with Napoleon. It's funny you bring that up.
So now the process is performing this live, maybe is there a tour involved?
We're working on that. I mean, at this point, just trying to start playing as much as we can, you know, locally and then also in the surrounding areas. And then hopefully by the fall,
we're
trying to orchestrate a tour.
Yeah, we're trying to book one by fall. It's for us, this is a newer process of being on this side of pushing the record because, you know, usually we play with a band for a long time and then make a record and you're like, someday we'll make a record, someday we'll have merch, all these things. And we wanted to do a project that did it the other way around, where we were like, spend as much time as necessary, just in secret, you know, to making a record till it's how we want it to be before we're even public. But the trade-off with that is that you have to be public a little while to build up some of those connections with touring and that sort of thing. So those are coming quickly, but yeah, we're right now trying to play a lot locally and build that foundation and then tour hopefully by fall for sure.
Before we leave and I ask you to pick one of your own songs to play as we exit, I feel it's important that we talk about the album, particularly the album cover and the artwork that you have surrounding your website, your Bandcamp page, the graphic elements that you have. Who is responsible for the look of Phlox?
Two good friends of Josh's that are out of Chicago, Kara Shim and Shang Lin, and they just started their own sort of design firm called The Gymnasium. But yeah, they worked together and they did all of our design and the artwork for the album.
It's a beautiful cover.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the Gymnasium is brand new, but Sean and Kara have been working in design professionally in Chicago for a while, and they're both really incredible artists and really good visions. And their thing is also all about just branding and consistency across, you know, the branding. So like, even when we we're like, you don't feel the need to have to do this. So like, no, we're going to do it. We're going to form it all for you. Just don't touch it. Like, let us make it look nice. And they did a really good job of taking even the photographs. So we had Brooke Shanzy do a lot of our photos. So any of the things you see with us in them were taken by Brooke, edited some by Brooke, and then also edited and reformatted by the gymnasium, by Sean and Kara. We just wanted to be very intentional about the presentation being clean, like minimal, and kind of stark, and, you know, those things to come across, because we feel like that just relates well to this type of music.
Thanks for coming in and being on Local Exposure and telling me about this new band and this new album. I'm looking forward to hearing more from you guys. And now it's time for you to collaborate, pick a song. Which one would you like to hear as we leave?
Steve, you should pick.
Maybe You're Still Young?
My thanks to Joshua Jessen, Tom Buckley, and Steve Patota from Phlox for stopping by. Their album is currently available to listen at SoundCloud and Spotify, or to purchase from Bandcamp at phloxtheband.bandcamp.com. For links to more information about Phlox, including upcoming live shows, please visit wvxu.org/lx. Local Exposure is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio and 91.7 WVXU. Today's episode was recorded by Josh Elstro and produced by me, Jim Nolan. The theme music is by Scott Holmes and comes from the Free Music Archive. Find out more at freemusicarchive.com. As always, until next time, and seriously, thank you for listening.